Welcome back to Table Talk. Pull your chair back up to the table. Hopefully you got some fresh coffee, piping hot, like Brent likes it. Burn the mouth.
Thank you. Tongue, mouth, teeth, the whole enchilada.
Yeah, that's piping hot.
You know, by the way, when you always give our intro and two pastors daring to be Lutheran, I always think, and I never say it, so I'm going to say it now, and inviting you to be Lutheran as well, if you're not, you know. And seriously, this is just, you know, what we and I do when we sit and talk about these things, it's not just an exercise in for our own sake.
Right.
I mean, we want other people to be Lutherans because, really, Lutheranism is where it's at. When Lutheranism is at its best, Reformational Lutheranism at its best, this is the best game in town. Why? Because it purely proclaims Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Only Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. Nothing else.
The holy Christian faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We invite you to be Christian. It's another way of saying we invite you to dare to be Lutheran with us.
It isn't. Now you use your decision to make Jesus the Lord and Master of your life as if you're in charge of your salvation. No, we're radically different. We go to the root of salvation, which is Jesus Christ himself. No, he alone saves. You have nothing to do with it, you know. Then this is why we invite folks to join us in believing and teaching this, because I've lived in many places, and I've encountered a lot of people who have despaired of American evangelical Christianity, which would be, you know, like a lot of the non-denom, a lot of the fundamental Baptist, you know what I'm talking about here.
Right.
Where the emphasis for salvation is, yeah, Jesus died for you, etc., but, or and,
what
now
you... What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, now you need to come up front. You need to make a decision. You need to make Jesus the Lord and Master of your life. And notice who's doing those verbs. It's you. And so you then replace Jesus as the Savior. People take this very seriously, and they either despair or become arrogant, but a lot of people become despairing, and then they quit the church completely.
And when the devil presses the attack, where do you think he's going to attack? Jesus or you?
Yeah, that's right, you.
The weakest link.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's brilliant, Brent. Brilliant. I mean, this guy is over there. He's running two laptop computers, and he's listening to the introduction and thinking, you know, we should invite these people to dare to be Lutheran with us.
I'm even chewing gum at the same time. Imagine that. Now, if I were writing on a marker board, I couldn't do it. I couldn't write and do this at the same time.
And scalding his mouth with piping hot coffee. And you guys are wondering, yeah, guys, let's get back to the text.
All right.
We hear you loud and clear. You know, it's been screamed throughout Matthew's gospel that this Jesus is the Christ. And also, with him comes the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. Therefore, repent and believe the gospel. And now, once again, Jesus is proclaiming this. His disciples will say to this certain man, the teacher says, my time is at hand.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what verse 18, yeah.
Right. So, it's the time of the unleavened bread, that week-long feast. It's the time of the Passover. Everything is converging right here. This is Jesus' time.
Salvation time.
Salvation.
Of the world.
The day of the Lord.
Yeah, all the Old Testament prophets speak of the day of the Lord. Here it is.
Right here. Remember, it's the evening of what we would call Thursday. But in the Jewish mind, the next day has started. So you have Passover, Lord's Supper, on the same day as his arrest and his crucifixion. It's all the same day. This is all the day of the Lord going on here.
Right.
Okay. And so verse 19, and the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Now think about that. When you prepare the Passover, your primary thing is preparing the lamb. Jesus has been being prepared now for some time. He was just basted with ointment not long before this.
Yes, yes, very good.
20, when it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, is it I, Lord? He answered, he who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Judas, who would betray him, answered, is it I, Rabbi? And he said to him, you have said so.
dipped his hand into the dish. Let's put it this way. The outrageousness of Judas's betrayal is underscored here by Matthew when he writes this. So Judas is now, he will violate the sacred bond of table fellowship, if you will. And that meant something in the ancient world, table fellowship.
Right.
Okay. And you remember Psalm 41, verse 9. Psalm 41, verse 9 says, "Even my close friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." John 13, 18 says, and Jesus says this in John 13, 18, "The scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me." The betrayal of Judas, Jesus then, and Matthew and John underscore what's happening.
And once again, Jesus knows what's going on here. I mean, he's passive in the sense that he is doing and suffering the Father's will. But it's not out of ignorance. He knows who it is who will betray him.
And let's underscore another point. What Jesus is doing is for who? Sinners.
Including Judas.
Exactly. He suffers himself to be rejected, to be betrayed. I mean, this is the enormity of our Lord's suffering and death, is that he endures all this for the sake of sinners and for their salvation. Now, if you and I were running the show, we would cleanse the whole boat, or the whole upper room, if you will.
Right.
First, before we'd begin anything, we'd say, all right, now, any of you sinners? Oh, all 12 of you? Get out. But not Jesus. Because it isn't just Judas who's a sinner here.
Oh, absolutely.
But his betrayal is enormous. But they're all sinners because of their denial, and they're running away, and not wanting to confess Jesus when push comes to shove. So they're all sinners here. That's my point.
And if I might borrow the language from John, they all have dirty feet.
Yeah, that's right.
And Jesus is going to love them. And here, loving even the Judas, along with the proud and pompous Peter and all the rest. He's not only washing their feet with this meal, with his sacrifice, his roasting in their place, he cleanses their whole bodies.
And thus, the connection between his Good Friday death and the institution of the Lord's Supper here on the night in which he was betrayed. His death is for sinners, and so he wants to bestow the forgiveness that he won at Calvary to his sinners in the Lord's Supper, which we will hear in just a minute.
Just in verse 24, too, we might have missed it. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. Once again, another reference to this is all in fulfillment of the Scriptures.
There you go again. He doesn't do this according to his own word, but to his Father's word.
Right, right.
And that teaches us something. So Jesus here is both gift and example. He does this for us and for our salvation. Because if he didn't do this according to the Father's will, writ and revealed in the written word, we wouldn't have a Savior. So gift.
And so also then, our mandate, our command to love one another is to be done according to the Father's will. Well, how do I love my neighbor? Well, the Father tells you.
Yeah. And in that sense, then Jesus is our example.
Sure.
So our lives then are lived sacrificially for the sake of others like Jesus, not to save them, but to take care of them this earthly life.
There's only one Passover lamb.
Yeah.
There's only one sacrifice, yeah. One blood that cleanses.
Yes.
Okay, should we go on? Verse 26?
Please.
Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
All right, so here we go. He takes bread, he takes the wine from the Passover meal, and he says things that had never been said before to Passover. It's as if he's in charge. Well, of course he is.
I guess that's why we call it the Lord's Supper.
That's right. If it was my supper, I'd never say that. But it's his. So he says what he says, and he gives what he gives through his words. Now, we have to understand something here. On the night when he was betrayed, he does this. So what's going to happen the very next day? He's going to die on the cross. Why is that so important? Here's why. Because these words that you just read, are his last will and testament. That's why earlier I said he is of he's sane mind and sound body. He is a testator here. Testator. He institutes his last will and testament. And what is the inheritance? His Good Friday body and blood in the bread and wine with the promise that your sins are forgiven. And that's, go ahead.
That's quite an inheritance.
Well, I say that for another reason, so that we understand that this is pure gift from him. This is, and my wife always makes fun of me, and then she always makes sure that everybody else now makes fun of me when I say this is huge. But it is.
Absolutely.
It because this is his last will and testament, and by the way, that's so any of your Bible translations, when it comes to verse, is it 28? 28. For this is, how did you read it? For this is the blood of the what?
Covenant.
Yeah, scratch it out, folks. Covenant, it's testament. It's diatheke in the Greek. Testament. And there's a reason for that. It's his last will and testament. That makes it clear that it is pure gift from him to his sinners.
And it is not to be changed.
Exactly.
Only the testator can change his testament. So, when I die and they read my last will and testament and you're there for the reading, you can't stand up and say, whoa, 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 whoa. I think what Scott really meant was to leave me his baseball card collection. I know that's not what his words say, but that's really what he meant. And they just say, get out. You can't change it. So in the same way, we cannot take this testament of our Lord and change it. Well, it says this, but I think what Jesus really meant was this.
Good point.
But gift is the primary aspect of that.
That's right. We have to get that under our belts so that we know what the Lord's Supper is and for whom. It is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine. It's instituted by Christ himself. And what are we supposed to do with it? And in our remaining moments, I want to spend our time on that. What are we supposed to do with it?
I think you're supposed to sit there and just ponder it.
But that's what he said.
You should parade it around through the streets of the city.
And genuflect. No, he didn't say that.
Didn't say that either.
What did he say to do with the bread that is his body?
You see, take...
and eat it.
Eat.
And with the wine, and by the way, it is wine. There was no such thing as unfermented grape juice. Good Lord, that's an American thing. Get over it. Seriously, folks, get over it.
Yeah, but fruit of the vine, I mean, grape juice is fruit of the vine.
Oh, it was alcoholic wine. That's what was always at a Passover meal. They didn't have refrigeration. They couldn't keep unfermented. It's get over it, folks. So with a cup of wine, he gives his blood. Now,
Eat and to drink.
Now, the next question is, with what body? And I always ask the kids this. And now, the adults laugh when they're in the presence of the kids when I ask this question, because the adults think this is a silly question. It's not a silly question. It's very serious. With what body part do you eat and drink?
Your mouth.
Yes. Not your mind, your mouth. So, you're supposed to take the bread, you're supposed to take the wine, he says it's his body, he says it's his blood, and you're supposed to eat it and drink it, and you eat and drink with your mouth.
You know, this is part of table fellowship, isn't it? You don't get invited to somebody's table and sit there and not eat and drink what they have set before you. But this is no ordinary meal, as you've mentioned, and this is no ordinary Passover. This is the fulfillment of it. It is the Lamb of God's very own body and blood, given for you to eat and to drink. It's for sinners, for the forgiveness of all of their sins. Come on, folks. We dare you to be Lutheran.